And now a reading from the Gospel according to John, chapter 15, verses 12 to 17. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I'm giving you these commands so that you may love one another." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, Glenmar. It is a joy to worship with you this morning. Last Sunday, Reverend Dr. Andy Lunt used this very passage and discussed abiding in God's love, and love not being a feeling, but an action. And this week, we will look at the same passage and look at it from another aspect of that same passage, and that is to be befriended by Jesus. Have you ever watched the game show Name That Tune? I didn't even realize that it was back on and that now Wayne Brady is the host. I've also watched the show Beat Shazam, and so if you've ever watched any of these game shows, you know that the premise is that a little bit of a song is played, whether it's the lyrics or the melody, and you have to try and guess it. And so I invite you to do that with me this morning. I know you got it. Okay, because there are some songs that as soon as you hear just a few lyrics, you already know what it is, like "Thank You for Being a Friend," "Travel Down the Road and Back Again," "Your Heart is True," "You're a Pal and a Confidant." What song is that? That's right, that's the Golden Girls theme song. Okay, that's one of my all-time favorites. All right, so let's see if you can do this one. "You've got a friend in me. You've got a friend in me. You got troubles, I've got them too. There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you. We stick together and see it through." What's that? Toy Story, that's right. I have to admit I've watched that quite a bit. All right, here's another one. "Some times in our lives, we all have pain, we all have sorrow, but if we are wise, we know that there's always tomorrow." What is it? "Lean on Me." That's right. It's Bill Withers' "Lean on Me." There are so many songs about the theme of friendship. These songs oftentimes teach us what it means to be a friend. And songs are not the only place that we learn what it is to be a friend. In fact, we're learning and taking that information on from the time that we are born. We are looking at the relationships at our school and family with parents, between our moms and on the playground, even Sesame Street, Bert and Ernie. We are looking and processing what it means to be a friend. And if you are a twin, or if you are a multiple, you've probably been learning what it means to be a friend, even in utero. The reason that we are constantly learning what it means to be a friend is because friends are an important part of our own development. Psychology Today has an article discussing how strong friendships are a critical aspect of most people's emotional well-being. Friendships are said to be associated with greater happiness, self-esteem, and a sense of purpose. In a way, they help us to develop our mission statement and our value systems, which is why I'm sure you've heard parents or you've read in the Bible, it says, be careful of the friends that you keep. A writer by the name of Anais Nin said that each friend represents a world in us, a world possibly not born until they arrive. And it only by this meeting that a new world is born. And I absolutely love this understanding of friendship, that a world is created in us through our friendship. Now, to me, that's pretty deep. What world is being created in us through our friendships? It should be no surprise that we can look to the Bible to also teach us what it means to be friend, from friendships through Ruth and Naomi, from David and Jonathan, Elijah and Elisha, Paul and Timothy. We learn what it means to be a good friend. But the biggest lesson of friendship comes from the relationship that God has with us. Worlds in us are transformed to reflect on earth as it is in heaven. We are made righteous. The liberated, we are, the oppressed are liberated. The world that was in us that was dead is made alive. Abraham was said to have been a friend of God. Moses and God used to chat like friends. And Lazarus was said to be our friend by Jesus. The world of outcasts were invited to have a seat at the table as Jesus' friends, sinners, and tax collectors. A new world was born. Now let us take a quick look at this word, friend. The Greek word used for friend in this morning's passage is philo. While philo means friend, it also means love. It is the same word that is in the word Philadelphia, my hometown. So that makes me feel pretty good. It is the love that is associated between siblings and friends. So love and friend are synonymous. Friendship is what love looks like. In the early Greco-Roman world, there were many understandings of friendship, such as political and military alliances, where friendships were created out of self-interest. And this created a world of greed and selfishness and often violence. And now, there was also the relationship that were between masters and servants, but they weren't necessarily friendships, because they also had their own self-interest. And so the worlds that were created were that of oppression. However, the traditional Greek word of friend, philo, is grounded in love. And so it emphasized an equality among companions, loyalty and sharing of resources, intimacy in which friends share everything in confidence. And so where that master and servant had that of loyalty, but not of love. And so what Jesus is saying that it is to be a friend, and what Jesus is showing is the friendship between God and humankind. It's saying that God is not a distant God who has no desire to know us or to be known, but on the contrary, God who desires a full relationship with us where there is nothing between us, a world that reflects the Garden of Eden, where we walked with God, chatting as friends, and we were completely abiding in love. There is yet another understanding of friendship, and the Greek word for that is koinonia. And koinonia, we most often use it to mean fellowship, but it actually means friendship. Friendship, together. So in this house this morning is a house of friendship, of mutual relationship. The Greek philosopher, scientist, and mathematician Pythagoras, which I'm sure if you've had geometry class, you know the Pythagorean theorem. I was not that great in geometry, but I digress. He founded a community that emphasized friendship, the epitome of all virtues. Friendship, he believed, call for the obliteration of estrangement and an ethic of non-retaliation. Competition and rivalry have no place in friendship, and trust is essential. So our passage this morning says that we are no longer servants but friends, because nothing is hidden from us. There is a trusting relationship between us and God. But this word friend also has, as a noun, has a verb connotation. Because we are friends, we are called to do. Because we love, we friend. And because the keys to the kingdom have been made known to us, we have a purpose. Our purpose is to help unlock and open doors of welcome to the kingdom. Social media also teaches us an idea of what it is to be friend, and friend as a verb. Our vocabulary now includes friending, to friend someone, to be friended. I get friend requests all the time. I get friend requests from people that I know, some who are from mutual friends, some from my high school, my undergraduate, my seminary, places where I've worked before, and some from people I have no idea who they are. But my favorite ones are the ones where it comes from people that I admire. Like, I had my favorite seminary professor friend me. And it's like, oh, I don't have to call him professor anymore. He friended me. I'm in the inner circle. And I remember the time that Shelton said that the singer Estelle friended him. And now Shelton is too cool to admit that it was pretty cool and that he was really excited. Because there is something about being friended by the one that we admire that lets us know that the veil is down and we no longer have to call them by their titles, but by their first name. And I remember the time that I met Method Man in person. Now, some of you are maybe too young to know who Method Man is. He's a hip-hop artist. Now, I think that he's an actor who has a SAG card, so he's grown up. But when I met him when I was 20, he was really a nice guy. And he said to me and my friends, you can call me Uncle Meth. Not in like a creepy way, but in a way where he was looking out for us young people. And at the end of the night, all we could say was, can you believe he said we could call him Uncle Meth? Because that meant that we were no longer fans, but that we were friends. And so think about the fact that Jesus says that we are friends, that we have been friended by Jesus. Our worlds now collide and new worlds are created. Our social media accounts with all of our friendings represent worlds. Our friends, our posts, our tailored news article, our feeds, our TikTok videos, our friends' feed all represents worlds. But what are the worlds that we are creating? Does the worlds that we are creating, does it reflect the worlds that we aspire to create, the world to which we reside in, the purpose of our worlds? I don't think that we've really thought about that. But that is the nature of friending. So when Jesus friends us, Jesus is inviting us to be part of a transformative world that reflects the kingdom of God, a world that reflects the love of friendship. Now, do our worlds look like the kingdom of God? Do our churches, our houses of friendship reflect the kingdom of God? Jesus clearly indicates what this world of friendship looks like. The beginning of the passage discusses the relationship between the vine and the branches. There is a mutual relationship. They abide in each other. A world of friendship is that of equality and mutual love. A world of friendship does not lord over another as masters or systems of oppression. The greatest evidence of this friending is our ability to lay down our lives for another, to sacrifice for our neighbor. Socrates viewed friendship as the most precious of all possessions, the greatest blessing that a person can possess. A friend shows generosity and courage in supplying the needs of their friends. The idea of sacrifice is essential to friendship, yet it is the part that often trips us up. It is the part that makes being a friend not a noun, but a verb. It is the part that means that I am willing to give up my own self-interest, my power, my privilege, my money, my time, my gifts, and myself in order that our neighbors are well. It is the part that shows love. Friending as a verb means that I am in you and you are in me. And because of this, you matter. If you matter, then I cannot see you hurt, hungry, neglected, oppressed, and in need because you and I are one. Friending means that I see you and you see me, and because of that, we can't ignore each other's pain. And because I see you in me and me in you, I see God. And so you are beautiful. You are light. You are beloved. You are in the Imago Dei. You are in the image of God. Friending as a verb means that I am not simply an ally, but a friend who works to know you, your culture, your family, your plight, and I share of myself with you. Friending means that we are not competing against each other, but are working towards a new world. Friending means that I see you, I know you, you matter. Truly knowing how to friend is the continued working of the Holy Spirit that perfects us in love. It is the Holy Spirit that helps us to delight in the liberation that we have through Jesus, that delights in that liberation and want to go out and friend the world because we have first been befriended by Jesus. It is the Holy Spirit that enables us to travel down that road and back again to give us true hearts and to be pals and confidants. It is the Holy Spirit that gives us the power that knows each other's troubles and to carry each other's troubles and that there's nothing that we wouldn't do for each other. It gives us the power to be leaned upon by our neighbors when they are not strong to help them to carry on. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to friend. It is the Holy Spirit that is transforming new worlds in us and through us. So we have been friended by God, and let us go out and friend, moving towards new worlds that reflect on earth as it is in heaven. Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me, how you love me? It's amazing. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. Thanks be to God that we have been befriended by Jesus. Amen.